Today, the property price downturn is spreading. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance and the Lotus World, and this post covering finance and property news. I've been saying for some time that some property markets are on the turn, and more evidence of this has now been published. And while aggregate data is averaged, CoreLogic's October report does highlight a modest rise in national home values, but easing annual growth and shifting market dynamics across different regions and property segments with wider falls. They say that nationally, their home value index recorded a 0.3% rise in October, but it was driven by mid-sized capitals like Perth, which saw a 1.4% increase, whereas Sydney saw a 0.1% decline in home values, alongside declines in Darwin down 1%, Canberra down 0.3%, Melbourne down 0.2%, as well as regional Victoria down 0.2% in the month. It's also worth noting that upper quartile house values are falling more than lower quartile values, which recorded a rise, and the trend of stronger performance in the affordable market segment is consistent across capital cities. They say a combination of less borrowing capacity and broader affordability challenges, as well as a higher than average share of investors and first home buyers in the market, is the most likely explanation of stronger conditions across the lower value cohorts of the market. The past 3 months have seen the lowest quartile either record a higher growth rate or smaller decline relative to the upper quartile or broad middle of the markets across every capital city except Canberra. Perth continued to lead the nation with a 1.4% rise in values over the month, but it was well down from the growth seen over February to June earlier in the year, when monthly gains were averaging more than 2%. Adelaide values have risen by more than 1% each month since March, but conditions look to be slowing there as well, with October's 1.1% gain, marking the lowest monthly rise since June. Brisbane's monthly gain was 0.7%, which was the lowest since July. As a result of all this, annual growth in national home values have eased to 6% over the 12 months ending October. That's down from a peak of 9.7% back in February. Slower growth in home values has been accompanied by a rise in advertised stock levels. Based on a rolling four-week count of listings to October 27th, advertised inventory has increased 12.7% since the end of winter across the combined capitals, with the largest increase occurring in Perth, where listings are 20.6% higher, albeit from an exceptionally low base. Total listings are now 13.2% above the previous five-year average in Sydney and 13% higher in Melbourne, according to CoreLogic, helping to explain the weaker conditions in those markets as buyers benefit from more choice and less urgency in their decision-making. Despite the rise in listings across the mid-sized capitals, Perth, Adelaide and Brisbane are still seeing advertised stock levels more than 20% below the five-year average for this time of year. Those markets remain well and truly in the favour of sellers, although the balance is starting to gradually improve, they said. Alongside the rise in advertised supply, the number of home sales looks to be fading. Estimates for capital city sales activity over the 3 months ending October was down 7.5% from the 3 months earlier and 1.6% lower than at the same time last year. With higher levels of advertised supply and less purchasing activity, selling conditions have loosened. Capital city auction clearance rates held below 60% through most of October, while private treaty metrics are showing a subtle rise in median days on market, especially in cities where advertised stock levels are above average. And turning to the rental sector, national rents rose 0.2% in October. That's a subtle bounce back from the weaker growth over the previous 3 months, but less than a third of the 0.7% monthly rise recorded in October of the past 3 years. Annual rental growth has dropped to around 5.8%. That's the smallest annual rise in the national rent index since the 12 months ended April 2021. The ease in rental growth is good news for inflation, with rents comprising one of the largest weights within the CPI basket. The annual change in the rental component of CPI has already started to trend lower, falling to 6.7% in the December quarter, down from the recent high of 7.8% in the first quarter. Of course, the Commonwealth Rental Assistance Program has likely dragged rental growth down, but the impact for the September quarter would have been marginal, with the increase to CRA kicking in late September only. Weaker rental trends in the unit sector have slowed rental growth, with rent slipping across the units market of Sydney down 0.6%, Melbourne down 0.4%, Brisbane down 0.3%, Hobart down 0.6%, and Canberra down 1.5% over the 3 months ended October 24. Although rental trends are easing more visibly across the units sector, some cities have also seen a decline in rents for houses over the rolling quarter. Sydney house rents were down minus 0.1% over the rolling quarter, and ACT house rents were down about 0.4%. Softening rental conditions are likely symptoms of slowing net overseas migration, they say, which peaked through the first quarter of 2023, as well as changes in household formation as the average household size gradually increases following the pandemic shrink. Though, I still think the migration is way, way too high. As rental growth eases, gross rental yields are once again under some downward pressure. The gross yield for all capital cities is now at 3.4% in October, down from a recent high of 3.52% in May, and a pre-pandemic decade average of 3.9%. Of course, net investment yields, which is the real measure, are negative for many people, as I've been showing recently. CoreLogic concludes, though, that investing in housing remains popular despite the diminishing yield profile. Holding costs are likely to have risen substantially for many investors, given variable mortgage rates are up around 3.4 percentage points from the pandemic lows, and maintenance costs have risen in line with higher building and labour prices. Despite this, they say, we are still seeing investors leading the upswing in mortgage-related activity, with the value of lending up 34.2% in the past year. That's more than double the increase in owner-occupier lending at 16.8%. Now, my analysis shows that more investors are indeed underwater from a net cash flow perspective. And we're actually seeing more investors jumping ship, but then others are buying in. So it's quite a complex picture. So all up, given the higher for long trajectory of both inflation and interest rates, I suspect we will continue to see weakness in several markets into 2025. But as always, we need to go granular to see the details across locations and property types. And of course, I'll be sharing more of my mapping on this over the next week or two. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultants standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.